Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 132, the first three stanzas. Within thy temple, sacred courts, with loving and adoring thought, we contemplate thy grace, O God, and all thy deeds with mercy fraught, and what follows. Psalter 132, the first three stanzas. portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Isaiah 37, the verses 1 through 20. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 37, the first 20 verses. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. And so the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, Thus shall ye say unto your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And he heard say concerning Tirkakah, king of Ethiopia, He has come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden, which were in Telazar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of Sepharim, Hena and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thy ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which is sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord, it is for the second time on this Lord's Day that we and our children may be privileged to come up to thy house, and then by renewal with our unclean lips we attempt to draw nigh unto thee. And then in this evening hour, we are called to meditate upon the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And that extends to all our religious duties. And to that end, it is so needful each time by renewal, when we draw nigh unto thee, high and lifted up, clothed with honor and with majesty, that by thy Spirit, that thou clotheth us with profound reverence, and the deepest humility, with deep impressions of our unworthiness, but also impressions that thou wert able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. To that end, may it please thee to richly dwell amongst us, richly bless thy word for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Do bless thy word in the church on the Lord's day. We commend unto thee the confession of faith class, the catechism classes, and the visitations. It all awaits for thy blessing. Well, thou grant many a Aaron's and many a hers. Do bless thy holy word in the family circles. Help fathers and mothers to that end. And do bless thy holy word in our Christian school and in the winter season. Wilt thou continue to grant traveling mercies? Do continue to help and remember the school board. We commend unto thy church, our theological school, the instructors and the students, the persecuted church, so many places, and then we may still have the privilege of freely coming up to thy courts, and who maketh us to differ? We remember the Jewish nation with the bitter enmity against them. But, O Lord, may they be given to cry unto thee, and may it be used for the opening of their eyes, the understanding, but above all in the way of experience, that the Messiah has come, sitteth at thy right hand, and from thence he is gathering Jew and Gentile. We commend unto thee our mission field, thy servant, the team, the family circles. Do continue to help husband and wife in the studying of the language. We commend the people of Peru unto thee. Wilt thou also provide for them? Remember those that bring thy holy word to the far corners of the earth. Lord, then by renewal, then we commend all the mourning ones unto thee. There are so many amongst us. And then we remember that father and mother with the family circles that in this week, where they are called to bring their little son to the cemetery. Oh Lord, do remember and uphold. And then we commend unto thee all expecting families, where there can be many fears and many concerns. But may it please thee in due time to gladden with thy deeds. Remember those who have experienced disappointments in their married life. Then we commend unto thee another mourning family who also were called in this week to go to the cemetery, a beloved brother. And then in a special way, do remember and uphold her who has now become a widow at a younger age. and the children who have become half orphans, O Lord. May all the callings be sanctified. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, wherein amongst us then thou was vividly shown that not only the old must die, but the young can die. And then, Lord, we need to be born again. We need to become new creatures, with all things passing away, and behold, all things becoming new. And now thou hast a people upon the earth that can have such a strife and such a trouble with those old things, that oftentimes they are found at thy throne. Why am I thus? Oh, a true Advent people, by the first time and by renewal, wilt thou work richly by thy Holy Spirit to that end. We remember all the sick and afflicted, the handicapped daughter in the hospital. Oh, do help the physicians, and that soon she may return to her dwelling, although many concerns remain. Oh, for father and mother, at times overwhelmed, may they be given to tell thee all. But, O Lord, thou continuest to knock on the doors of the heart. May these solemn callings be used for the opening of the heart. The father who was in the hospital, who may return, wilt thou grant healing and strengthening, sanctify the calling, and do remember those that are taking treatments under the physician's care in special ways. Remember those that struggle with weakness and difficulties of the mind, together with their loved ones, also at times overwhelmed, surely, that they do not know how to continue. Remember the crosses, the burdens. Wilt thou remember all of our elderly ones in the evening of their life, our Bethesda, the residents, and those that may labor there. Work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit. We remember our country, federally, provincially, also the towns and cities, also the council of this town. May it please thee to work by thy Holy Spirit in the midst of our community, the true work, true conversions wrought by thee unto thee. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy help in this evening hour. May thy word be blessed. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 17, the 5 stanzas. O Lord Most High, with all my heart, thy wondrous works I will proclaim. I will be glad and give thee thanks, and sing the praises of thy name. And what follows, Psalter 17, the 5 stanzas. In this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 36, the question and answers 99 and 100. Question 99, what is required in the third commandment? Answer, that we not only by cursing or perjury, but also by rash swearing, must not profane or abuse the name of God, and nor by silence or connivance be partakers of these horrible sins in others. And briefly, that we use the holy name of God no otherwise than with fear and reverence, as so that he may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us, and be glorified in all our words and works. Question 100, is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing as so heinous a sin that his wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor as much as in them lies to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing? Answer, it undoubtedly is, for there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of his name. And therefore he has commanded this sin to be punished with death. Lord's Day 36 speaks of the third commandment, the proper use of God's name. Four thoughts. In the first place, a name to be reverently used. Secondly, a name that may not be profaned. Thirdly, a name to be piously reflected. And in the fourth place, a name with a dreadful threatening. The third commandment, the proper use of God's name. A name to be reverently used. A name that may not be profaned. A name to be piously reflected. And a name with a dreadful threatening. Beloved congregation, when we have heard the first answer, where it was described what is forbidden and what is required, how have we listened to that answer? Because concerning the law of God, then there is a difference in sin. And it is best not to say smaller and bigger sins, because each sin that makes us worthy of temporal and eternal punishment, thus it is better to say big sins and bigger sins. Thus, Lord, let us not have the thought that it makes not so much difference because we are sinners anyway. In the larger Westminster Catechism, then in the question and answers 150 and 151, then that question is asked whether all sins are equally heinous. And then in the next answer, then based upon the scriptures, then they have given circumstances who committed by, against who, and other circumstances that it is declared that there is a difference in sin. In John 19, verse 11, when Christ was brought into the judgment seat before Pontius Pilate, then Jesus has told Pontius Pilate, "He that has delivered me into thy hands has the greater sin." And now when we have heard the answer to question 91, then I hope that at the beginning, that is family circles, that you are not guilty of the first part. And there we read, cursing, perjury, but also by rash swearing, must not profane or abuse the name of God. Then as fathers and mothers, we are called to impress upon our children, when they are even very small, the greatness and the holiness of God and of His name. But then when we have read further, nor by silence or connivance be partakers of these horrible sins in others, then already we have to say how great our guilt is. And further yet, and briefly, that we use the holy name of God no otherwise than with fear and reverence, so that He may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us, and be glorified in all our words and works. Then it is necessary, when we consider this commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain," what are we now to understand by the name of the Lord? We have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook that His name is identical to His essence, and that name, then also concerning the third commandment, then how true it is what we read in Psalm 119, verse 96, that thy commandment is exceeding broad. The Lord has given Himself a name. Not that He needed a name, because our children know that there is only one God who dwelleth in the heavens. But He has given Himself a name to distinguish Him from idols who are called gods. They are no gods. He has given Himself a name to Himself and given Him a name for Himself, that by His names He may declare unto the children of men something of His majesty and of His greatness. And then the Lord in his goodness have given himself names. Because boys and girls, you must think along. If the Lord had now not given himself names, and then when we pray, bend our knees, fold our hands, then we would not have a name to address the Lord with. And now when we read concerning the name in the scriptures that concerns all his titles, all his attributes, his works in providence, his works in grace, his ordinances, it includes his word, his house, the church. Thus then we understand that that name, that it includes much. And now what is necessary? That by the grace of God, that we learn to love this great and majestic name, and that we become jealous over that name. Thus then we hear, congregation, we need the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit, to his true children, then he grants that love for the Lord and everything that is connected with that name. We have examples in the Bible. Think of Abraham in Genesis 18. He was given to intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah. And then in verse 27, he was given to call himself dust and ashes. Low thoughts of himself and great thoughts of that mighty God in the heavens. In Isaiah 6, we have the angels, six wings. Two they have covered their face, two their feet, and with two they have flown. They have cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Oh, concerning that name, then I read of the bride in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 3, that his name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore, do the virgins love thee. And now concerning that name, then we must use it reverently. We must not use it thoughtlessly. The Jews, they have gone too far, because they do not use the great name of Jehovah. Concerning the heathens, it is told us that a man has done a study concerning heathens, and he has discovered that the heathens, that they were very careful concerning using the name of their gods in vain, although surely depraved, fallen creatures, it is also found amongst them. And now concerning using that name in vain, that implies that we and our children are called to use it, that we are called to confess it, that we are called to adore it, and that we are called by true saving faith to trust in that name. Do we not read in Proverbs 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. And concerning that name, given to trust in that name, not to be as the Israelites, who have trusted in an arm of flesh, that have trusted in Egypt to deliver them. And now the reverent use of God's great name. That also concerns all our religious duties and exercises. And then maybe I hear some people think, if that is now the case, then maybe I better quit reading my Bible and praying and singing. Has that ever become our sin? Or are we pretty good church people? Always read when we take God's word, and also necessary for parents to instill into the children that God's word, that it is his holy word, must not place another book on top of it, must have a special place. The Lord is speaking unto us. But all concerning Bible reading, praying, and singing, how has it been in this evening? Then maybe there are some that say to themselves, if that is now the case, then I think I better cease. But is that a solution? And then you shall say no. Because the Lord has commanded it to sing his praises. Think of the Psalms 146 through 150. They are psalms of praise. We are called to confess the Lord. And what is now necessary concerning the third commandment? That there is much prayer, that we are given to beg, that each time by renewal, that the Lord grants profound impressions of whom the Lord really is. And what else? Also profound impressions of our sinnership, that a great sinner draw nigh unto such a holy and a majestic God, and that a need for the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, is born. Thus then, in our first point, that we already hear the commandment exceeding broad. And then it is needful that it becomes our sin, that our sin is confessed, repenting grace each time by renewal, and the necessity of the precious blood. Our second thought, a name that may not be profaned. Then Lord's Day 36 also speaks of perjury and rash swearing, but that is spoken of in Lord's Day 37, that word vain. That means empty or an idle way. And then it is necessary, in our country, then there is not really a distinction made between rough and improper language. That is also sin. But the distinction is not so much made between that rough language and between using the name of the Lord in vain. And that word profane, that means to use it in a blasphemous way, disrespectful way, an irreverent way, an unholy and a wicked way. The sin against the third commandment, that is such, of course, improper, wicked, but such an unprofitable sin. Why? Is the Lord, the name of the Lord, used many times in the way of cursing and swearing? It can be in a way of anger. But that means that such a person has heard it from someone else. It can also be that it has become a custom. Can be. When you speak to a person in the world, when they take the name of the Lord in vain, then they shall tell us that they were not even aware of it. Has become such a custom. It can be that they want to draw attention in the way of boldness. It can also be in a way of mockery and anger. We have heard it out of God's word. From Isaiah 37, that the king of Assyria, that he is mocked, provoked the God of Israel, telling Hezekiah that his God has not delivered, that the king of Assyria has conquered all those nations, and that he should not trust in the Lord. Oh, Hezekiah, maybe there is a soul with such letters. The mockery and the assaults of the devil. Oh, the blessed portion of a Hezekiah, that he has laid that letter out before the Lord and says, Lord, look, this is what the king of Assyria is saying concerning thee and thy power. Ah, shall then the Lord not take it up for his own cause and for his own honor? And now, what is forbidden, then our catechism speaks of cursing, and that can be to call upon the Lord to cause harm. Think of those 40 men with the Apostle Paul. They have sworn oath they would not eat if Paul was not killed. It can also be blasphemous words to express anger. And then let's also mention shortened forms of the name of God, that they resemble the names of God. We shall not mention any, but that is also forbidden. Then further, what we mock with sacred things. Think of in 2 Kings 2, we read of children that have mocked with Elisha the prophet of the Lord. Why did they do that? Where did they learn that it is true? Conceived and born in sin, we all have depraved natures. But undoubtedly, they have heard it from the parents who have not spoken so respectfully of the prophets of the Lord, maybe even hated them because the prophets have seriously and honestly admonished them for their sins. And then we know, boys and girls, you know what has happened to those boys and girls. That two mother bears have come out and killed those children. Then further, when we speak of the works of the Lord in a degrading and disrespectful way, and that also includes the weather. Sometimes you read it in the paper, how there is spoken of the weather in a very degrading way. That is all included in this commandment. Because boys and girls, who sends the weather? Who was sent the cold? Then you shall say the Lord. And the Lord is sovereign. He does all things well. He makes no mistakes. It's not mean we can always understand the ways of providence. Our old fathers, when they have spoken of this commandment, then they have also spoken of the casting of the lot, where they have called it a religious duty. Then concerning how we deal with the Word of God, because there that glorious name is declared, concerning the law of God, whether we honestly search and read it, do not take it out of context, and then also disobedience to the Word, also included. When we use religion to cover up our sin, we read in 2 Samuel 15 that Absalom has come to his father David, and he has said to his father, "I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord." Oh, then perhaps Father David thought, is there now coming a change in my son Absalom? But what was now the intention and plan of Absalom? His plan was to murder his brother for what he has done. He's done awful things, committed incest with his sister Tamar. We could mention Genesis 34, the Shechemites, and that two sons of Jacob, that they have deceived them. Then further, reading or listening to the name being misused and not speaking. We read in this Lord's Day of connivance, and that has two meanings, a pretended ignorance and give aid to doing wrong. And how silent we can be. Many times excusing ourselves that it is not the right time, or we need to wait till we are alone with such a person, and if that is possible, that is better. But how guilty we all are that we have heard the name of the Lord being used in vain. And our silence needs to be our sin, our guilt, and that we ask the Lord that He may give honesty and boldness and the time not to stand above that people, but in a loving way to explain to them what an awful and terrible sin it is to use the name of the Lord in an irreligious or in the way of swearing the name of the Lord, from whom all blessings flow, who was so good doing and so just. Our third thought, a name to be piously reflected. Let us first sing of 236, the four stanzas. By all whom thou wast made, be praise and worship paid through earth abroad. Thy name be glorified, there is none great beside. And what follows, 236, the four stanzas.
Thank you.
third commandment, the proper use of God's name, a name to be reverently used, a name that may not be profaned, and now thirdly, a name to be piously reflected. Because we read at the end of answer 99, and be glorified in all our words and works. Thus not only call to talk as praise, but to be as praise. Matthew 5, the verses 13 and 16. The salt of the earth, a city upon the hill. John 15, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bring forth much fruit. And the early church, the godly walk in the tender fear of the Lord, that has brought many a heathen over to the truth. Likewise, in the time of the Reformation, when those that were under falsehood, under a false teaching, when they have seen the godliness of the Protestants, no, it was not perfect, but has made a profound impression. In that respect, when we have a baptized forehead, then each sin we commit with the baptized forehead, God bears the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, then it is a sin against the third commandment. How is it in our life? In the community. When our community beholds us, and they have a right to look closely for a people that are baptized and that profess to have the truth, then they have the right to expect that that shall be seen with great and profound respect for the Word of God. And always, in all places and circumstances, no, not perfection, but that it can be seen that we are bearers of the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And also at times given to speak. If we only speak, we can be religious and it cannot be seen. Then we can understand that there is much amiss. When we think of missionaries, how often, because there were also white traders that have sold alcohol so they could deceive the natives, and then for those heathens, a white man is a white man, then how guilty many a white man has become when they have dealt with those heathens not walking according to the Bible. And that has made it so difficult, sometimes nearly impossible, for missionaries to gain their trust, that they could openly listen to law and gospel. We read in Romans 2 verse 24, "For the name of God is blasphemed through you, as it is written." And in Titus 1 verse 16, "They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him." Thus, to be willing followers, to love the name of the Lord. Oh, we read in Isaiah 26 verse 8 that the desire of our soul is to thy name. And then that Adventext, Isaiah 26 verse 9, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night." What is now necessary? Much prayer. Our last thought, a name with a dreadful threatening. And then when we listen to question 90, is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing so heinous a sin that His wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor as much as in them lies to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing? Thus the beginning, the profaning of God, swearing, cursing, so heinous a sin. But then there is especially spoken, thus the instructors are given to speak to church people, and hopefully we and our children do not use the name of the Lord in vain in such a terrible way. But now there is added, "who do not endeavor as much as in them lies to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing." Thus, in the first place, not to give any cause that the name of the Lord shall be blasphemed, that our neighbor shall curse and swear because of our actions. The second place, we have spoken of silence, but when we read this question, then it can also refer to the works of the devil. Much mysterious, much that we cannot understand. Devil's also called an angel of light. He can also give religion experience to try to imitate the work of the Lord. But then with the permission of the Lord, then he could also put cursing and blasphemous thoughts in our minds. And then how troubled we can be, nearly at our wit's end. But then there is a difference. Perhaps the instructors, they are also speaking of that matter. Reverend Brockle, in his Reasonable Service, has written of that matter. But then there is a difference whether we strive, pray against it, and ask the Lord to deliver. And then the answer, it undoubtedly is, for there is no greater or more provoking sin, greater or more provoking to God, than the profaning of His name. When we consider the greatness of this sin, then it is a mockery with the Lord. And the things of the Lord, it is a direct attack upon the majesty of the Lord. In the second place, it is such a senseless sin. It does absolutely no one any good. And the sin that hardens the heart. If you have now a husband that dares to curse, to swear, to use the name of the Lord in vain, what shall he then dare to call his dear wife? Practical instruction. And then therefore he has commanded this sin to be punished with death. Special examples, Pharaoh, who is the Lord, that I should obey him. Goliath, he has defied the God of the armies of Israel. Rabshakeh, the general of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. We know that an angel has destroyed 185,000. Belshazzar, he was so bold, he has taken the silver and golden vessels which Nebuchadnezzar has taken from Jerusalem out of the temple. I have read of a heathen king that on a certain day he made a special feast for all the soldiers. And then the weather was not so good. And boys and girls, you know what that king told the soldiers to do? To take their bow and arrows and to shoot the arrows up to their God. And do you know what has happened? The arrows, they went up, turned around and fell. And they have killed many of those soldiers. So it is with the third commandment. And then in closing, then we hear that we are all guilty. Very guilty. Are there times that we are guilty and burdened? But now there is forgiveness that thou mayest be feared. Because we read of one, the dear Son of God, oh, wished ye not that I must be in my Father's business, John 17, verse 4. I have glorified thee upon the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And the dear Son of God, for his people, he was accused, he was condemned because of blasphemy, falsely accused. We read in Matthew 26, verse 65, then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? And in verse 66, he is guilty. Thou shouldest mark transgression. I read in Psalm 130. Who can then stand but in verse 4? But there is forgiveness that thou mayest be feared. And to that end, how necessary the prayer of the psalmist. In Psalm 141, verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my lips, and keep the doors of my lips. The necessity that by the grace of God we may learn to love, to adore, to worship, to reverence the name and with the prophet to experience the desire of our soul is to thy name. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day. Yet a few words to speak. A few more hours. And the 11th month of this year has run its course. Hope to enter the last month. And then we may humbly ask thee that thou may spare us and our dear children in the 12th month of this year. And if thy way is different, that it may not be an unprepared and an unreconciled death. Lord, wilt thou keep from sin, from harm and danger, take us under thy good care and kind protection. Wilt thou watch over us wherever we are called to be, in the home, at work, at school, on the way. And then by renewal, then we commend unto thee the mourning families that are called upon to bring a loved one to the grave. May thy word be blessed. May the callings be sanctified. Wilt thou bring us together for a weekday service? Wilt thou now dismiss us in thy favor? Grant traveling mercies. Grant a prayer for one another. May thy kingdom come, thy name be glorified. And, O Lord, may thy name not be blasphemed by us and our children because of the sin against the third commandment. We all need to be pardoned, worked in lovingly and irresistibly by thy Spirit. Oh, when thou worketh a love for that name, a jealousy concerning the name, with a vehement and desire that all people, our loved ones, that they may be given to reverently worship that name and to be saved by that name, the work of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, pardon us of all of our sins of this day in speaking, in listening, in singing, in praying. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 386, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call, on thee rely. Incline to me a gracious ear, and when I call, in mercy hear. And what follows, 386, 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.